You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is driver Reinbold Racing driver Sage Karam. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
And a pretty neat deal is, of course, you were racing in May, in August at Indianapolis, and you'll be racing again coming up this weekend at the IndyCar Harvest GP, and you were able to name a new sponsor and driver Reinbold, and it's a pretty exciting week coming up for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's great to be back with the Driver Reinbold crew and have a new sponsor on board, like you said, with Oil to Soil. You know, it's hard to get new sponsors and stuff, you know, with the state of the world right now. So, you know, to bring in, you know, new sponsors on the car and everything is always a good thing. And it just shows the health that the IndyCar series is in. So we're excited. You know, I think it's good to be able to go back to a track that we raced on earlier in the season. You know, this is the first year for us that we've been able to do more than just one race. So, you know, just that in itself has been, you know, a big task for us and also a lot of learning and just a lot of fun. But to be able to go back to a track that we raced already this year, you know, I think it really helps us out. You know, we have some data. I'm familiar with it. The team's familiar with it. So we're hoping that we can have a good showing. And, you know, we get two chances at it this coming weekend. We'll race on Friday and Saturday. So looking forward to it.
How long does it take for, you know, especially in your case, not being out of a car for a few months and that, going to a road course and be so technical and be so, you know, keep that pencil real sharp, as they say, and how long does it take? One session, two sessions? You know, walk us through that.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like the whole first session, we're only going to have one practice before qualifying, so if you can't figure it out in one session, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, so I got to, you know, figure it out quite quickly. But, you know, usually, you know, you get your bearings under you, you know, about 7-8 laps into the first session, I'd say, it starts coming back to you. And then, you know, you can start pushing. You know, I think we'll get like 2 or 3 sets of tires for the first session. So the first set is basically just figuring everything out again, getting used to everything. And then towards the end of that practice session is when we really start to push and look for speed and, you know, get ready for qualifying.
Jeff?
Yeah, when I was going through some of the non-racing things that you're interested in, Sage, at wrestling, I know, is a big part of your life and something that you love. And can you talk about, you know, what about wrestling you're able to sit there and bring into, like, the discipline and everything like that into racing with you that you use every week?
Yeah, so my dad is a high school wrestling coach here in Easton, Pennsylvania, and I've wrestled my whole life. So, you know, it's been good for me, you know, as far as like staying in physical, you know, top notch shape. It's, one of those sports that, you know, makes you train super hard. And, when I get into a car, I know that I'm at my, peak performance as far as physically. And then wrestling is also just a big mental game. You know, it's a tough sport. You know, you got to have a lot of grit to do it. You know, whether it's making weight and not letting your team down, or if you're in a close match or down by a few points, like anything can happen. So, you know, it kind of teaches you to never give up too. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of life lessons and sports lessons that you can learn just from the sport of wrestling. So I'm very thankful I did it and, you know, definitely happy about it. And yeah, wrestling season hopefully will be starting up soon again. You know, depending on how COVID and everything goes on, I hope we can get back into the room and get wrestling again, because it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. The other thing is, obviously you were going to race at St. Pete this year at the beginning of the year, and that's now the closing race. Everything works out. Let's say everything works out well. You get, you know, top 10 finish in both races. Is that something that's still on the that could be on the schedule coming up for later in the year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think the original plan was to run St. Pete, but we weren't planned to run the NDGP. So I think we probably won't go and do St. Pete, just because, you know, just to replace that race, we decided we were just going to do the NDGP, since it made more sense, you know, with not having to travel all the way down there and, you know, hotel rooms and stuff like that. So this just made sense. And, you know, we're getting two races instead of one. But you never know. You know, maybe we have two really strong results and, you know, the sponsors get excited or somebody else comes on board and we can go do St. Pete. But at the moment, I don't think it's in the plans at the moment.
Having two races coming out this weekend, not only you but the other drivers too, is that something you guys kind of keep in your back pocket, when you should I make this move going into this corner when I know I got to kind of save the car for the next race tomorrow? Does that come into factor?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think no matter what, you know, I'll be wanting to, you know, bring the car home in one piece. That's always the first goal, is to, you know, just mm-hmm. to do as many laps as possible. And if you can, you know, stay on the lead lap and not get in any incidents, then you have a pretty good shot at finishing, you know, well. You know, I think it all comes down to then strategy at that point, hoping that things go your way. But yeah, obviously you don't want to give the guys a long night on Friday going into Saturday. You know, I think it would be quite tough for the guys if they had to rebuild a car, and obviously we're a small team and everything, so we can't really afford to have any big wrecks.
With the new aero device, how much cooler is it going to be this weekend as opposed to, you know, earlier in the year?
Yeah, I mean, the first race we did here at the GP was, it had to have been high 90s. And historically, that race hasn't really been a really physical race. You know, it's not really like a street circuit where it's really bumpy and you're really having to, you know, manhandle the car around. But, you know, with the AeroScreen edition, it became really, really hot inside the car, and it made it one of the most physical races I've ever done. So, you know, knowing that, you know, I've been training and doing a lot of, like, heat acclimation training and stuff, you know, to get ready for that. But, you know, now that it's in October, hopefully, you know, cooler temperatures and stuff will help us out there, and it won't be as physical. But then again, you know, you got to do it twice instead of once. So it'll be interesting. I've never done an Indy, you know, a doubleheader before. Actually, I did one in 2015 at Detroit. But other than that, you know, I really haven't done it before, especially this year. So it's going to be something new for me, new for the team. And, you know, hopefully we can just make it go smoothly.
You know, running in the heat and everything and running an IndyCar, it's very physical. You know, probably Formula One is probably at the top, IndyCar, you know, and then further down. But for a driver that wants to get in shape driving a you know, Formula One car, IndyCar, that, is it more important to have core strength, you know, have a strong core or cardio? What's the one thing that, if, you know, if we go to PitFit training, they're going to focus on?
Yeah, I think the number one training aspect is just basically muscle endurance. You know, we don't have power steering. Like, Formula One is power steering. So it's a lot harder to steer an Indy car than it is, say, a Formula One car. So, you know, you got to have some sort of strength, obviously, to do it. but I think most of our training is just basically like long duration stuff. You know, if you're only good for 10 laps at full strength or whatever, then you're really going to be hurting for the remainder of the race. So you got to be able to have your muscles be able to regroup themselves and not get overly tired too quickly, because then it will make for a long race, like I said. So, you know, I do like a lot of circuit training. You know, I do a lot of cycling. So a lot of cardio stuff you know, you don't really want to be too big in the car either. So I don't lift weights, you know, for weight. You know, I'm not doing like, you know, 245 on a bench press and for two or three reps. You know, it's really the complete opposite. You know, it's lighter weights, higher reps, just trying to build muscular endurance.
Talking about Sage Karam, driver of the driver Reinbold in the oil to soil car that's running up in the Harvest GP this weekend. Jeff, I'm sorry, you had one more thing.
Yeah, do you find it hard to balance, you know, obviously the physical conditioning, you just talked about that, getting ready to race, working with the race team to set the cars up and all that, but do you find that you're having to do more with trying to attract and keep sponsors happy with, you know, sponsorship not just, you know, flowing like it used to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, racing's definitely two businesses nowadays. You know, you have your on-track business and your off-track business. And if you don't have your off-track business right, then you really don't even have an on-track business. So you really got to, like, market yourself correctly you know, be around the right people, be in the right spots at the right time. It's really hard nowadays. You know, it's not like you can just go to companies and, you know, companies are just going to be writing you a $5 million check. It's not really like that anymore. So you need to be creative with things and figure out, you know, how can I help this sponsor, whether it's, you know, business to business, you know, planning. If, you know, that basically means if there's a sponsor already on the team, say Target, you know, and then you have a sponsor of oil to soil, you know, maybe you can go to Target and say, you know, we can bring oil to soil in and sell, you know, this many, you know, at the store or whatever. And, you know, then it helps both parties. And then that's what is attractive to them. They want to know how you're going to help them. And that's just, it's been hard, you know, like I said, it's not like the old days where, you know, companies were in a better financial state and were able just to write checks. And, you know, now they're just looking for better returns on investments and stuff. So you got to get creative. And yeah, I mean, I'm constantly, you know, have my team writing emails, making phone calls and figuring out what's the best way we can, you know, come up with money, because unfortunately, it's, you know, if you don't got the money, you're not racing nowadays. So, you know, that's always the biggest battle.
Very good. Well, Sage, we certainly appreciate you taking time out. Very interesting interview, and best of luck this weekend at the Harvest Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course.
Yeah, thank you. And if you want to buy a little soil, it's available on Amazon. Go check it out. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. That was Sage Karam on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Coming up after this, we're going to talk to George Phillips from oilpressure.com, talk about the upcoming Nashville Grand Prix coming up in 2021 in the IndyCar Series. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from oilpressure.com, it is George Phillips. George, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
And, of course, we talked about this, I think, the last time you were on the show, about the upcoming announcement of the Music City Grand Prix. Well, it looks like it's here. They're going to be running it August 6th through the 8th, 2021, at Nashville. And you look at the configuration of the race, I must give them credit. It's something I would not have thought of. And I guess to explain it for those not familiar with it, George, you can help me out on this. You have Nissan Stadium. That's where the Titans play. And they'll be racing throughout the parking lot at Nissan Stadium. But then they go across a bridge into another area. Can you kind of explain to us how that works?
Well, yeah, in fact, they're only racing around, they're not racing around the stadium. They're only racing around one of the parking lots on the east side of the stadium. Okay. And that's where the paddock and the pits will be. But then when they leave that area, it's interesting. It's like Mid-Ohio in that the starting line and the finish line are in two different locations. So the finish line will be pretty much right behind the stadium, right in front of the pits. But then they will make a couple of turns, and then they will head up a hill over a bridge that crosses the Cumberland River, which it's not a gigantic river like the Mississippi River or the Ohio, but it's a good sized river. I mean, it can handle heavy barge traffic, and so it's a good sized river. And I don't ever recall IndyCar going over a body of water before. So not only will they do it once on each lap, they'll actually do it twice on a lap because they're going to be heading across the river, heading west towards the downtown side of the river, and then they'll work their way around a little small area there just south of downtown, and then they will come back over that the Vietnam Veterans Bridge. And when they're coming down there back towards the stadium, apparently that's going to be heading into turn one of the track. I'm doing a very poor job of describing this for people that can't see it, but they'll be heading into a left-hander that everybody says is going to be like Cleveland in the old cart days, because it's going to be apparently it's going to be about 80 feet wide as they head into this turn one area. And then they're going to head back over across that parking lot. And Tony Kottmann, who designed the track, said that if you don't get through turn one, well, then you're going to be passed going into turn two. So it sounds like there are a lot of anticipated passing zones, which is good for a street race.
Sure.
But basically it's going to be two Mickey Mouse areas attached with two very long straightaways, and I think those straightaways are like 3,500 feet. So they say they'll be approaching about 200 miles an hour as they head into turn one.
It seems like it's a good way, though. I mean, if you look at the track design, like it's a good way to kind of spread out the crowding. I mean, you're going to have this, this congested area, with the paddock, the pits, this where the stadium's located, but then this other area that's kind of like this, almost like an appendage or whatever you want to call it, that crosses a river. It'd be kind of a neat way if I'm an Indy. I'm kind of curious what's going on. Let's go check it out, but I don't want to jump in with both feet. Is that a good way of thinking about it?
Yeah, and the fortunate thing is that between the stadium and that bridge, there's a just north of the bridge they'll be crossing, there's another bridge that's a pedestrian bridge. So I'm assuming that that's going to be how, I don't know if they'll have trams on there or what, but if people want to move around to other parts of the track, I guess they can utilize that pedestrian bridge. So I think it will be a very fan-friendly layout. I was a little skeptical at first, but the more I read about it and see it and think about it, I think it's going to be good. It's so much better than what they had proposed about 3 or 4 years ago, which was essentially actually racing around the stadium on both sides of it and rarely leaving the parking lot area. That was not going to be good.
Jeff?
I think it's interesting with them incorporating, you said, the south side of downtown. That's got to get, you would think a lot of those businesses would be embracing the race and try to get involved and have different events and everything like that as well. Do you hear about that happening, or is it more kind of like a wait and see approach on it?
You know, it's interesting. When this was all coming about, because we knew for 2 or 3 weeks before the announcement that, I say we, we that follow IndyCar knew that this was going to happen. But oddly enough, I never heard a thing about it locally here in Nashville. But once they had the announcement, I mean, everybody seems to be on board. And they think this is going to be a big time event. And in fact, yesterday on my way home from work, I was on the interstate heading west towards home, and I just glanced over and I saw a billboard for this event almost a year away. So people are talking about it. It's got a lot of buzz right now, and I think, of course, not to get into politics, but our mayor here is a little overzealous on his restrictions for downtown, and he continues to keep the businesses shut. So I think if the businesses can survive till next year, I think they will really embrace this.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, I'm not a big fan of street racing, but this layout kind of intrigues me a bit. And if they can make it work, so be it. Nashville, let's face it, is one of the hot cities in the nation, as you well know, George. And you know that, you know, when people talk about the hot places or, you know, what's going on in the nation, they talk about maybe Austin, Texas, or they talk about Nashville. And that's certainly on, you know, it if it works out, it could be a nice feather in the cap for IndyCar. I did want to touch base though on your latest column. Talks about Zach Veach. For those who are not aware of it, Zach Veach is out of Andretti Autosport, the Gainbridge car, and there's a lot going on there. And James Hinchcliffe is in, which makes a lot of sense. But George, kind of walk us through that transaction.
Well, and I don't really know. I mean, we first learned on Wednesday when I first saw it, when Zach posted on Facebook that he was it had been determined he would not be returning in 21. So he says he made the decision to step out of the car to give Andretti Autosport a chance to try other drivers in preparation for 21. I don't know that I buy that. Zach is nice enough that he may have actually done that. I think had I been in his shoes, I would have taken those. And if I had the option, I would have taken those three races to set that up as an audition for other teams that might have openings for next year. But so I don't know if he really did volunteer to step out of the car for 21, but as soon as I found out that he was doing that, to me it just seemed very obvious. The obvious choice was that James Hinchcliffe would be in there. I really didn't think that they would have any type of auditions or anything, and I certainly think he's going to be in the car in 21 as well.
Yeah, it looks that way. And you know, you mentioned, you know, Gainbridge apparently is out for next year. I wonder if this is also a way to, because you know, Hinchcliffe had a partial schedule set up with Genesis, another local sponsorship. So I wonder if we could maybe see if this is an audition and maybe a way to kind of grease the skids maybe for Genesis to step up next year, and we could see you know, Genesis is sponsoring Hinchcliffe, if not a partial season, maybe a full season in 2021.
And that's a good question. And one of my readers chastised me because I was making the assumption that Gainbridge was out. And he's right. I mean, Gainbridge has not announced publicly that they are not coming back. So I'm assuming that Gainbridge decided that they were not going to be coming back in 21. But who knows? I mean, Gainbridge and Genesis might split the season with Hinch, much like AutoNation and Napa are doing with Rossi.
Well, and Gainbridge has been all over too. Gainbridge has agreements with the Speedway itself, you know, sponsoring and doing a lot of activation with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway itself. So it could be just, they could be just reassessing things. Yeah, Gainbridge could be, or even as an associate sponsorship. You know, we had Zach, or we had Sage Caramon before. You know, he's always talking about, and he was talking about, well, sponsorship, you're trying to work things out. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, and if anybody can cobble together sponsorships and different packages. It's certainly Michael Andretti and his group, because they've certainly been doing it for years. And there's also been some speculation about Ryan Hunter-Reay. Will he be back next year? So, you know, it's interesting to see. You know, I mean, Andretti Autosport runs a lot of cars, but when you run a lot of cars, George, it takes a lot of money, doesn't it?
It does, and they're doing five cars, and if you count Jack Harvey with their association with Meyer Shank, you know, that would actually make six. And you know, it may be too much. I don't know, but you're right. It does take a lot of money. I do not know the DHL sponsorship situation. I don't know if that is coming to an end this year or I just don't know. But you know, Hunter-Reay is getting a little long in the tooth, and he didn't win a race last year, did he? I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Did he win Detroit last year, or was that 2 years ago? I can't remember now. But his results have not been there for the last almost two seasons. So I do not know if he'll be coming back or calling it a career after this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But with IndyCar, we got two coming up this weekend for the Harvest Grand Prix, and then closing out the season at St. Pete. What are you looking for in the next few races here?
Well, obviously, if we're going to have something to really lure people in for ratings, Scott Dixon needs to falter some, and Joseph Newgarden needs to crank it up. I still think this is Dixon's championship to win. Dixon won the Grand Prix back on July 4th there. So, and Newgarden's never won there, but I think – I forget where he placed there. But I think Dixon could actually wrap up this championship with the Harvest Grand Prix with the doubleheader next weekend. And plus, I've not heard anything, but I just heard some speculation, and I kind of have a gut feeling myself. I'm still not 100% sold that St. Pete is going to run at the end of the season. So the Harvest may actually be your season finale.
Well, the governor just opened up the whole state yesterday with only if there's, outbreaks. If there's an outbreak, then they have to go back to 50%. Regarding restaurants and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see, even if, because I'm sure IndyCar wants to run this, even just to fulfill the TV contracts and that. So it'll be interesting to see how they work that out. But I would, and then whether, how many fans will be allowed. But I don't know. I have a feeling they might run it. So.
Well, and I just don't know. I know that Savory Green, or Green Savory, whichever it is, the promoter, I know they kind of took a bath on the March race that didn't happen. But I know they left some of the stands and some of the infrastructure there for the race. I think they left it up all through the summer. So if they can put it back together, without a whole lot of extra costs, maybe they can, but I'm just wondering, I'm not sure if this is COVID related more so than just dollars related. I'm just not sure that they, I'm just not sure it's going to run. I'm probably wrong, but I've always just kind of, it took them so long to actually, they said they were going to run it, but it took them forever to even come up with a date. And I'm just not 100% sure that it is going to run. I hope I'm wrong.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. George, we certainly appreciate you taking time out. Make sure you check out his stuff at oilpressure.com, his Speed is Life column, and all his good stuff. I really appreciate you coming on, and thanks for the insight on Nashville. Jeff and I and our whole crew, we'll have about 20 people. We really appreciate you opening up the house to us.
I'm glad to do it, and bring some more of your friends, too, if you want to.
All right. That's George Phillips on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give it the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I've never been to Nashville, Steve. I'd love to go.
Okay.
Yeah, you just got invited, Mitch.
Yeah, we'll get a whole caravan to go down there. So coming up next, we'll talk to Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. Talk about last week's 24 Hours of Le Mans and Formula One and the latest in IMSA coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com. It is Fast Eddie Lapine. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm doing just ducky, Jeff.
Never better.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
And I want to talk about Le Mans real quick. I'm sorry. We tuned in a little bit to it throughout the weekend. I was busy. I was out, up at Road America for a bit, so I wasn't able to watch as much as I wanted to. But unfortunately, it just seems like for the last 20 years though, you get a manufacturer go in there, it's their time to dominate. Of course, we had Audi for so many years dominating, and now it's Toyota's turn. And Toyota, who lost heartbreakingly that one Le Mans a few years ago, and now they've just been dominating. Of course, it was Toyota number 8 winning with Sebastian Buemi, Kazuki Nakajima, and Brendan Hartley, who won an IMSA race up at Road America a few years ago, kind of dominating that, didn't they?
Well, yes, and it was Sebastian Buemi's third victory at the 24-hour Le Mans, which was monumental. And hopefully in the next year or two, we're going to see lots of changes, and we won't see Toyota dominating, hopefully.
Yeah, and the Swiss team, Rebellion team, which I've always even kind of like the underdog, and it's actually some of the sharper looking cars too. So they were able to finish second, but that's their final race too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sad to see them go. They were big fan favorites in the U.S. because of them racing here a few years ago and actually winning a couple Petit Le Mans races, and they're a great small team, privateer, and they've challenged. I mean, they were right up there. If Toyota would have had some more issues, they could have won.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's kind of would have been really cool to see them pull off a win, but unfortunately they were not able to. Let's switch gears and go to the U.S. here with the IMSA team and some big news. We've been speculating over the last year with Acura, Penske and Acura leaving, what's going to happen to their prototype program. And we got some news this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we got really a couple big announcements that are really good for the future of IMSA. And that's Michael Shank, who we've had on the show numerous times, another privateer, so to speak, but he's done an awesome job throughout the years in IMSA and now IndyCar with his effort in the IndyCar series. And he'll be one of the teams running the Acura next year, along with Wayne Taylor. And as people have seen this week, that's a huge announcement because he's been running a Corvette prototype for many years now, a Chevrolet prototype. But I think GM is going to be scaling back, and that would be my guess to see him leaving. I was not surprised, and I think, just as I've said in the past on the show, the technology of electric is coming a lot faster than anyone ever anticipated. And I think Wayne Taylor's move from GM is showing that he had to get to win again at Daytona. He had to make that move, and I think Acura could be a good move for them.
Yeah, and it certainly makes sense especially for the Meyer Shank team and Michael Shank, them going to the Acura prototype program, especially when they're affiliated with Honda. you know, the Honda team in IndyCar. So there's some definitely some synergy there on what's going on. So it's, you know, and of course we had Formula One today. They're in Sochi, Russia, and a little bit of it, well, not a surprise for the pole, but it's nice to not see a lockout from Mercedes in the front row, isn't it?
Well, definitely, but it's still disappointing to see a half a second difference and Max Verstappen in the Red Bull car, Honda powered, I might add, just driving way, way over his head to try to get there. And he did. He broke the Mercedes front row lockout, and I think it'll be an exciting first lap. I think if Max can get a good start, and it's going to make it very interesting into the first turn. But it's really hard to get fired up when Lewis Hamilton, week in and week out, there was some controversy this morning about that he broke a rule coming back on the track, and they didn't enforce it. And there's just, you know, how the rules just always seem to play a factor. And I don't know why they didn't enforce it, but they would have probably enforced it if it would have been somebody else. That would be my take on it. So,
yeah. And then the other surprise I thought was Sergio Perez qualifying fourth. You know, here's a guy that right now, as far as I know, he still doesn't have a ride for next year.
Yeah, when you think about it, somebody that brings to the table over $100 million and he has nothing confirmed, he's really the only driver in the field that's bringing that kind of money to the table. And he's pushed aside because Mercedes wanted Sebastian Vettel next year. And you see Sebastian crashed today. And Ferrari just seems to keep struggling. Kimi Raikkonen dead last with Alfa Romeo. All the Ferrari engine-powered cars are just struggling immensely. Yeah. And I don't see it changing for a while now.
Right. Well, you know, and it's certainly frustrating, you know, somebody with Perez who, you know, they go into this weekend without the updates, you know, so it puts them at a slight disadvantage. He's able to get up to P4. You know, we understand with Lance Stroll and his position with the team, they're bringing in Sebastian Vettel, which, I mean, in my opinion, I think I'd rather stay with Perez, but they want a world champion on that team for whatever reason. And we'll talk about Vettel here in just a moment. But, you know, and now the talk is maybe him and Haas. You know, it'd be interesting. I mean, it definitely would make sense with Haas bringing in somebody like Perez with some money, and maybe they can do some more development. Because Haas is, at this point, they just need to clean the slate with their drivers. But, you know, if they can, you know, with bringing in Perez, maybe they can do a little bit more development, bring in, you know, a little more money. Because let's face it, speed is money, especially in Formula One. But they're kind of they're trained to Ferrari, and Ferrari's been struggling, and we saw that with Vettel in qualifying today with his accident, didn't we?
Well, definitely, and you know, getting back to Haas about, you know, I mean, Kevin Magnussen, I think, you know, has definitely should be given an opportunity. I think a lot of it has been, you know, car related. I mean, when you don't have the power, I mean, look at a world champion like Kimi Raikkonen on the grid for tomorrow's race in Russia, qualifying dead last. And as much money that Ferrari puts in this, it's almost ridiculous that they have no results. And they can't, in this situation, to dig themselves out of it, it's going to take immense effort. And they keep saying they don't want to fire anybody or make changes. And I don't think it's going to get any better unless they do bring somebody else in.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I jumped the route on my partner Jeff here on his question he had for Eddie. So when we come back, we'll talk more on IMSA in just a second, where a couple drivers might be heading, and then we'll get our predictions coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Jeff Orlowski, Steve Zocchi. We go back out to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Welcome back, Eddie Lapine. Eddie, where do you see Helio and Juan Pablo racing next season? Eddie?
Do we have Eddie?
I think we might.
All right.
Yeah,
Eddie.
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, we only got a couple minutes, so it's got to be quick. But where do you see Helio and Juan Pablo racing next season?
Well, Helio's filling in, and he's working on some deals. He'll be racing at Indy. He could be in the last three races for Asquez, who got a concussion from that crash. So, I mean, the door's open. I mean, I think it's just going to be funding. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why they're in the situation. They were pretty much the highest paid drivers in IMSA, and there was no room for them for next year in the whole thing. So, I mean, unless they can bring money to the table, then we're going to see them in a car.
All right, what about Montoya?
Yeah, I think he might be done.
Same with Montoya. I mean, he could be anywhere. I mean, he wants to keep racing. So I think he'll be a little more flexible, and he's got talent. So you could see him back in IMSA in a prototype, maybe at Daytona, as a third driver at a couple long races.
All right.
And
that'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Now we've got we've got the Xfinity tomorrow, the Cup race in Las Vegas, the first race of the second round of the playoffs. If you're going to the window to place a wager, Eddie, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Harvick at Vegas.
Yeah, from the poll. Steve, what about you, buddy?
I like Logano, even though I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with Logano, and then I'll take Cindric for tonight, Penske sweep. And then for F1, we can't pick Hamilton. I'm going to go with Verstappen.
All right, Mayor Mitch, mark that tape where Steve says he likes Logano. We'll just play that next week on a loop.
We'll do.
I'm going to go with Joey Gase for the win tomorrow night. But if for some reason hell freezes over and that doesn't happen, and this is going to pain me too, Steve, you know this, I'll take Austin Dillon for the win tomorrow.
Okay.
So we both picked our least favorite drivers to win the race.
All right, Eddie, who do you like in F1 besides?
With F1, I have to. You took my pick, Steve, so I'm going to go with Bottas. I just have this feeling that something's going to happen the first lap between Verstappen and Hamilton. At least I hope so, because it'd be the most exciting thing that happens.
And we'll give you Allgaier for tonight. Who's your pick tonight, Jeff?
Tonight I'm going to go with, I got to go with my boy, Cindric.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I
think Cindric and overall, I wanted to go with Cindric too, because I think he's just hot right now. Definitely.
All right. Good, guys. Thank you everybody for listening to the Final Inspection Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.